All right, we'll pick up on our study in Philippians, and this I want to go back and do a little bit of a recap and finish this one section this morning. But we left off last week as we started to talk about servants must have a mind of the Savior, and then we looked at a harmonious mind and a humble mind. And this morning we'll go to that third section, or letter C, a helpful mind. And we're again talking about servants must have the mind of a Savior. And then let me dwell just for a moment, not the secular view, class. What are some things that come to mind when the Bible talks about a servant? Servants must have the mind of the Savior, a harmonious mind, a humble mind. We talked about those things, but what is a servant? Follower of Christ, okay? Anything else? Others first. Yep. And we've all learned that song as the kids growing up about, and I'll go over the words a little bit later in the service or later in the Sunday school lesson, but the aspect of joy, Tony. He's serving. And it's willing to serve. Willing to serve others, to be a help, a encouragement to others, and expecting nothing in return. I said something out loud. Maybe it was a year ago. I can't remember. But as a pastor, I'm going to have a servant's heart. Period. No exceptions. That's what I'm supposed to be. And we go through these stores now, and everywhere you go, they want a tip. You walk through the line, you order your food, you point what you want to some of these places, and you get to the register, and they give an option for a tip. I'm like, what did you do? You're getting paid by the hour. And one time, and I looked at someone, and I saw that, and I said, you got to be kidding me. Now, I've tipped one time at the register because I was at a donut shop about 2 weeks ago. We walked in as they closed. They said, sorry, sir, we're closed. I said, closed now that I'm in or before I got in? And he just laughed and said, come on, sir. He says, in fact, go ahead. He goes, what do you want? I said, we only come in for one or two donuts. I thought we'd grab a donut. He goes, tell you what, why don't you get a box, fill it up, whatever you want, and then I'll only charge you for the two donuts. Now, I gave that guy a tip. Because he went above and beyond. And I looked at the door to make sure what time they closed so I could do it again next time I'm in the area. But I said all that to say this. When I saw that tip, and I thought to myself, and I looked up, and I said, tip? This is self-serve. And I thought to myself, I don't charge for doing funerals. I don't charge for doing weddings. I don't charge for canceling. I go down. I know the church, I'm on staff full time. Some things are expected. But the above and beyond is serving others. And we've lost that aspect in our community. Everybody wants something, even if they do nothing. It is important as believers that we take that to heart. And the Lord gives us an example. I mean, imagine that for a second. Try to imagine all that Christ left in heaven to come to earth. And he came for the purpose to be a servant. And he left all the glory, all the splendor, all the praise of the heavenly hosts to come to earth to be a servant. And that's exactly what he did. If the King of Kings can leave heaven, can leave that royalty to come that he might serve mankind, surely we can serve one another. Now, we definitely should be willing to serve one another, especially within our home, within our church family, but even so, even in the world, that we might make a difference, that we might be a blessing, that we might be an encouragement to others to let them know that there is a church here in town that cares about one another, that also cares about the community. We grabbed a bite to eat the other night, and there's two police officers sitting over there, and my wife started laughing after a while. She goes, all right, the wheels are turning. You're already trying to figure out a way to go there and talk to them, aren't you? I said, well, yeah, of course I am. Number one, they do protect and serve our community. Number two, my daughter's a police officer, so I know how their parents feel, and I appreciate what they're doing. And before the night was over and on our way out, I went by at least twice to let them know that I appreciate their service and to let them know, and I gave them a track that, hey, I have a daughter that also serves. I want you to know that I do pray for the police here in Goodyear as well as Buckeye. I minister in Goodyear. I live in Buckeye and gave them both a track. They are very accommodating and asked me about my daughter. Where is she at? What does she do? And it gave us an opportunity to have that personal aspect. And that's why it's so important for us to have that aspect of service. Let me encourage you The next time you're out and about and you have time and you're eating, you notice some things, make sure they're through eating. But if it's one of the fast serve places, you know, leave somebody a track, invite them to church. And if they're through, go ahead and take their tray and dump it for them. An act of kindness, an act of service. You know, get the door for folks coming in and out in front of you or behind you, and take the opportunity to serve not only one another, but also when they're in a community, because that's exactly what our Savior did. Servants must have the mind of the Savior, and having the mind of the Savior will help us to be harmonious. It will help us to be humble. And then let her see, it will help us to be helpful, to have that helpful mind. Notice verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 7 and verse 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Now again, there's that word, servant. Why did he choose to take a form of servant? Why not something else? He could have been many other things, but he chose to be a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, you see that aspect, and took upon himself the form of a servant. See, Jesus came to this earth for the purpose of living and then dying for others. And if we could just be willing to live for him, that others might see Christ in us. His whole life was consumed with ministering to the needs of those around him. Not one moment was ever lived selfishly. Paul speaks of this and pays the ultimate compliment to Christ in Romans 15:3. For even Christ pleased not himself. TV's not on in the back. Brother, you know that TV's not on in the back? Which means also I can't see my clock. I'll move my phone over here. So here, for Christ pleased not himself. There was never a need for the presence of Christ that he did not do everything in his power to meet. It didn't matter that if he was knocking on the door of this middle of the night, or walking toward him as he rested on a well, or was up in a sycamore tree, or beside the highway begging, or nailed to a cross, and someone at his side, he never considered himself, but humbled himself and served. I read an illustration that I want to read here in just a moment by, how many of y'all heard of CLA and attorney David Gibbs? A tremendous speaker. I've heard him speak a few times. There's one message he preached one time, simply entitled, Fish or Cut Bait. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the story. I like to go back and find the sermon, but the title and some illustrations were wonderful. But here's another clipping of one of his messages where he uses an example of an illustration that we find in the Bible. And here he's talking about, in Luke chapter 10, about the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, the Good Samaritan. Dr. Gibbs said, "Gentlemen, there are some who go through life beating up people. Just as these thieves in this story wounded this man and departed, leaving him half dead alongside the road. The world today is littered with people who have been used and abused by sin and are hurting and hopelessly dying as a result." But then he said, going past those of the beating up, he said, "There are others who spend their life passing up. By chance there came by that wounded man, a priest and a Levite, and they both looked at him and saw his condition, but passed by on the other side. But there was one who passed that way who decided to help up." Sure, those that beat up, there are those that pass up. Do we take the time that we need instead of walking by a situation to see if we can help, that aspect of a servant? Are we one that tends to beat up as opposed to helping up? There was a phrase that was coined, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, in reference to brother slamming. Back at the old, if you've heard of it, Southwide Fellowship in 1982, there were some things in competition that went among the preachers from the platform that pretty much led to the breaking up of the Southwide Fellowship, where they were being critical about others and kicking them while they were down as opposed to helping someone up. Here in our story, we saw the ones that beat up, and then we saw the ones that passed up, and then we see those that were helped up. And this good Samaritan, as we call him, went to him and poured medicine into his wounds, bound him up, and took him to an inn and took care of him. Not only that, he left money to make sure that his bill was paid. I don't know about you, but when we stand before the Lord, gentlemen, I think that the only thing that will matter is how many we helped up. Are we doing what we can, not beating up and not passing up, but helping up, encouraging, mentoring, and making a difference? And that all starts with a servant's heart, willing to serve, to be a blessing, and a form of encouragement. We used to sing the song, as we mentioned earlier in our opening, when I was growing up, and it went something like this, and I'm not going to try to sing it. Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus, others, and you in the life of each boy and each girl. J is for Jesus, for he is first placed. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, and whatever you do, put yourself last and spell joy. Life-changing truth is found in that little chorus. Do we put others first? You know, there's another passage, what do I more than others? And they talked about in the Gospels, Peter and his brother playing second fiddle. Philip playing second fiddle to his brother. Do we have to be first? Do we always have to be in competition? I think one of the hardest things as a grandpa or papa, as my granddaughters call me, and Jovi, bless her heart, born and grew up here in Arizona, but she still says papa like she's from the deep south. But kids are kids. And there's always some sense of competition and trying to teach those little ones with the different age brackets and gaps and understanding that, hey, it's okay to let your sister go first. But no buts. It's okay. It doesn't matter she hits you first. You don't have to hit her back. But if you do, make sure you put her on the floor. No, that might be how we talk to our boys, but not our girls. But aspect of service and even trying to teach the younger generation the aspect of putting someone else first. To me, it seems to be very foreign to the society that we live in today. See, it boils down to whether we are going to be a Philippians 1:21 or a Philippians 2:21 Christian. Let's turn there. Put your finger there close by to Philippians 1:21 and then look also at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's look at Philippians 1:21 first. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now look what it says in 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So what kind of Christian are we going to be? We're going to me first? Me. Or is we going to put others first? We're going to desire to be exalted above all. Or are we going to exalt Christ and not be concerned where we're at on the totem pole? Are we going to serve no matter how we're treated? Are we going to live for the Lord no matter how people respond to us? You know, sometimes the hardest thing in all the world as a man for someone to talk down to us, someone to be critical of us, especially in front of our wife or in front of our children, or someone dismay our career. But we're not to respond in kind. We're to respond in the way that we want ourselves to be treated as well. Sometimes it can be very difficult. But the bottom line is we have to decide what kind of Christian we're going to be. Again, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Are we seeking our own? Which goes back to our story of the Good Samaritan. Boy, one crosses away on the other side. They're not concerned. They're just passing right by. The ones that came before them are the ones that beat up. But the Good Samaritan was willing to help up. Are we more concerned about giving a hand up and encouraging and serving? And here's the hard part about serving. Unconditionally. Not looking for anything in return. Just serving because that's the same way that my Lord lived here on earth. Leaving all the splendors of glory to come here, to live, to die, that we might have eternal life. And I cannot think of a place, I cannot think of a story in the Bible where the Lord put himself first. It's always an aspect of serving others. You see, self-centered pride characterizes the old nature. But the new nature is exemplified in a selfish service to Christ. See, if you want a miserable life, live for yourself. But if you want joy, live for Christ and to live for others. I have met very few people in my lifetime that I would put in the category of being wealthy and appearing like they had everything they ever needed and even some of the things that they want. Most of them that I've met or known, except for a few exceptions, were miserable. Were miserable. And then I've met others, and I had the privilege of having a breakfast one morning. I was at a missions conference in Flower Mound, Texas. And a gentleman in a very, probably a $500 more suit came by to me after the service and said, "Hey, Brother Cook, can I buy you breakfast in the morning? I'd like to spend a few moments with you." He said, "But it'll have to be early because of my schedule tomorrow if it's not an inconvenience." And before even asking him what time, I said, "Sure, sir, I would be honored." I was a young preacher. Here's a professional gentleman in the church. Pastor later said something about him. Asked, said, "So and so asked you for breakfast." I said, "Yes." He said, "Good, you'll enjoy it." I said, "Sure, what time do you want to meet? How about if we meet down at the IHOP at 4 o'clock? And then there was that pause, and he says, "Don't worry, I'm buying." I says, "Yes, sir, I'll go." So after services that night, we got all the kids back to the room. Of course, you have to be the last ones to leave a church service when you're in a missions conference. You got to wait till everyone's went by your table. The whole building's cleared out. Only people are left are you, your family, the other missionaries, and the pastor or an assistant pastor. And so we packed up, went home. I got in bed that night about 11 o'clock, lay down, got my alarm set up early, got up, had a shower, had a cup of coffee in the hotel room before I left, and boom, I was off to meet him at 4. You know why he wanted to meet me at 4? Because he had another appointment right behind me at 5 o'clock with someone who he was discipling. He wanted to talk to me first. The point I'm trying to make is, here is a gentleman who might appear to have had everything in the world at his fingertips, was successful in business, but yet he still had joy and he wanted to serve others, and that was the key. He wanted to serve. He made time. 3 days a week, he bought 3 different men breakfast at 5 a.m. in the morning at IHOP in order to disciple them. And he said, "I've been doing it for a year." I had to push, wasn't bragging, to find out more about it. He'd been doing it for a year. And he said, "God is so blessed and changed my life that I look through life in a different lens. I am genuinely desiring and want to be a servant of God, and God is allowing me to do that." He said, "Brother Cook, God has been so good that the last 3 men that I discipled are all active in the church, and one of them is discipling somebody else. And the 3 that I'm discipling now, I have the same hopes for, but I can only do what I can do and trust the Spirit of God to work in their lives." Again, it gets back to that. Not trying to get you to get up and meet someone at 4 in the morning. He did it that way because that was his schedule. And when he had to be at work, he had to do it that early in order to be able to accomplish and to get back to his office and work. Another little song here. The author of He Lives, Alfred H. Ackley, wrote, "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. There is peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King." Gentlemen, are we in service of the King? Are we beating up, passing up, or are we helping up for those that are around us? Let's do all we can to make a difference. And I challenge you to ask the Lord to help you. Say, "Lord, by the grace of God, before the year ends," here we are already in September, "help me to make a new friend outside of these church walls that in some way, somehow, that I could talk to and either see them saved or to see them back in church or whatever the case may be." Allow God to say, "Lord, use me in any capacity to fulfill that as a servant." Dear friends, I don't know about you. There's 2 kinds of people out there when you do that. Those that will take advantage of it and those that will appreciate it. Let God sort them out because God knows who they are. And let's have a servant's heart. Let's pray. Again, let's remember, servants must have the mind of the Savior, a harmonious mind, a humble mind, but also a willing, helpful mind. Let's help up. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. I pray now that you bless our time, Lord, as we have a bit of an intermission or choir practice, Lord. But, Lord, help us to strive, to work in our own hearts and minds, to focus, Lord, after a period of time of between our break, to focus on the service. Prepare our hearts and minds for the preaching and teaching thy word through the music, through the fellowship, Lord. And Lord, help us today as we go out to remember, Lord, that we are servants. We are children of the King. And Father, help us to reflect you in our lives. Help us to be willing to serve. Help us to be willing to look for opportunities. Lord, help us to not be guilty of beating up or passing up, but always prepared and ready to help up as you give us an opportunity to do so. Now, bless, we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it is 9:29. I know the choir has to meet over in the fellowship hall here in a few minutes.